This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Some HTO, you can do it right now. Text the keyword T to the short code 20357 and you can win a free iced tea, a free iced or hot coffee featuring the all-new peppermint mocha. Comes iced or hot. It's very popular right now. While you're getting those free drinks on us, don't forget, order those Thanksgiving gallons, buy three, get one free right now at HTO. Get you ready for the holiday. You can pre-order them, set your pickup date. Again, the keyword is TTEA to the short code 20357. Each participant can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Tommy College Hoops tonight. And it's kind of a fun schedule, honestly. You don't get the Shockers until 9:30 at the earliest. And it's probably going to be even later than that. You'll get K-State at 7. You can stay up late with Shockers tonight.
It's going to be really hard to do. I had a hard time staying up.
At least it's
up.
Not a football game.
I know. You know, but
like a four-hour football game, you're like, oh, God.
I had a hard time
until 9:30.
I had a hard time staying up for the KU football game.
I did too.
Last weekend at BYU. And then when K-State played out there, I had a hard time staying up, you know, for that game. It's kind of interesting looking at this schedule for the games tonight in Kansas City. The early game in KC features Utah State. Utah State is in the Mountain Time Zone. Their fans are used to, you know, I mean, it's going to be a little bit, I don't know why their game isn't the late game. Like, their fan base is in Mountain Time Zone. Put Utah State in the late game and let Wichita State and St. Louis play the early game. I don't know. It is what it is. I'm going to try. I'm going to do my darndest to stay up and watch that.
So here's what we're trying to there's a lot to get to with the Shockers. First and foremost, in this game, we're on Robbie Avila watch. You might remember him from Indiana State, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, yeah. All the great nicknames. He came over with his coach to St. Louis. He has been hurt. He made the trip. All the updates last night and this morning, he's out there doing non-contact practice. They won't totally rule it out that he plays. This is a very important game for both of these teams. So we will see with Avila. There's nothing official on that. So that makes this line really interesting. And Coach Mills, if you're listening on the lines, you can ignore this part. He had a funny exchange with TJ yesterday in the presser about lines and how Vegas doesn't know anything. So Coach, don't pay no attention to this part. But this line is really interesting, Tommy, because right now the Shockers sit as 3-point favorites in this game. I would have to imagine that is with the assumption that Avila does not play. So take that for what it's worth. If you'd like to, you know, if you think he's not going to play, that looks pretty, you know, attractive. If he plays, I don't know how much time Vegas will react and move that. So we'll see. But that's interesting. Shockers are 3-point favorite. I love the Shockers on that if Avila doesn't play, by the way. So we'll pay attention to that. But here's what's more interesting now that has nothing to do with betting and everything to do with reality. We learned yesterday that Ronnie DeGray will miss 4 to 6 weeks. That's the really, really bad news for the Shockers. The good news is Ballard is expected to play tonight. So now we get into this situation where what do the Shockers do without DeGray? How do they handle this? I think Mate would honestly, to me, he seems like he would be a better fit at the four than the five, but he kind of becomes your only option at the five to back him up. So I'll be really curious to see how Coach Mills and his staff draw this up. Do they play them both at the same time? can you afford to play them both at the same time because of the risk that they both get into foul trouble, right? Because of the need, likely, I would assume, for Ballard to come off the floor in spurts. This will be fascinating to see how they do it. That DeGray loss is a big deal. Do they go 4-1, four guards and a big, which would be fine, I think, with Quincy Ballard? I'm not sure I think it would be fine right now defensively with Mate. So they've got some real questions to answer quickly now with their three biggest games coming up. And I'm not sure we went into this season thinking how critical Ronnie DeGray would be to this team. But I think as we've watched these games, we've learned he's really critical for the Shockers. And now somebody is going to have to step into that role, and they don't have an obvious fit for it.
Yeah, part of that too, and I was thinking about this the other day, like I guess I didn't realize that they were thin in the post, and then I remembered, oh yeah, Zane Meeks has been injured, and they haven't had an opportunity to utilize him at all this season, and so as soon as I remembered that, I'm like, oh yeah, like they were supposed to be deeper, you know, than what they've been able to be. I've said it before. Thank goodness the NCAA cleared Mate, you know, because yeah, that's massive, you know, moving forward, especially if you've got a Ronnie DeGray injury that he's going to miss multiple weeks. I think for me, strategically, I think you have to go 4-1. I don't think that you can run the risk of playing both of those guys, both Quincy and Mate, on the floor at the same time. I think you have to go 4-1. Just because you've got to make sure that you manage those minutes and mitigate foul situations. I think that's the only way that you can actually move forward.
I think you can play them both because I think that's your best lineup. I don't think you can.
I mean, it's their best lineup.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, if you make it, you know, 10 minutes into the game and neither of them have a foul, then yeah, play them both for a while.
Yeah.
So that's the part that I don't. Again, that's
should
a level
be the exception, not the rule at this point until Ronnie DeGray gets back, I think. You know, if
4 to 6 weeks is a long
time. If you get to certain points, like certain benchmarks in the half, and neither one of those guys are in foul trouble, yeah, throw them out there for a few minutes at a time, you know, run it out together. But I don't think that you should plan on that. That's kind of a luxury if it does happen, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And look, this is far beyond the Bolts, the 10-year-old girls basketball team, not even 10-year-olds that I'm trying to get. Like, that part of it takes a lot of, I would imagine, like number crunching and thoughtfulness and things that the assistants have to constantly be watching. What are those benchmarks? What are the benchmark fouls? How many minutes can those two give you together? Because at some point, at least Quincy Ballard's going to need a breather. Is Mate equipped to play a heavy minute load? I would tell you that early in the year, like in the first handful of games, I would have been very concerned about that. I think it's been a little bit better lately. There's also the piece of, yeah, they're going to give you the most productive, I think, offensive lineup and probably the most productive defensive lineup. But how many minutes, if you play them together, can you play them? Because they both at some point are going to have to come off. So then what do you do? Right? It's hard for me to imagine a lineup without at least one of them out there. Right? What would you do if they both had to come off at the same time? That's Corey Washington's tall, right? And he's an option, I guess, to play. I don't know if he can play that spot defensively. On offense, I don't really care. Right? It's going to hurt you on offensive rebounding, but on offense, it's not a big deal. But what are you going to run into a situation where you're trying to run a 6'5", 6'6", dude down at the five defensively?
Teams are going to
take advantage. That's the risk, though, in play. Even though I think it's by far their best lineup to play them together, the risk is, what if they both have to come off at the same time?
But you know what helps mitigate that is shot making. Shot making from the outside. That's what helps mitigate that a little bit. You know,
sure.
So yeah,
that's not what this team's going
to
do.
Well, but in an ideal world, you don't have to run one of the, you know, 6'5", 6'6" guys in the post. You don't want that to have to happen. But if you do, at least you would hope that they can play a little bit faster, get to the rim a little bit, you know, quicker, and make their shots from the outside. That's the way you mitigate that. Is that likely? Probably not. That's a worst case scenario, though, I think.
So Harlan Beverly, we were talking about this in the office yesterday, just kind of guessing at it. It was TJ and I was like, is Bamba ready to go? and he didn't know. And then my next question was, okay, so if somebody else had to go down there, right? Like if somebody else had to get down there and get after it, could Joy do it? And then it kind of, I was like, you know, Harlan Beverly, if you asked him to, that's your utility knife. I mean, maybe he could get you by in a pinch, but I'm thinking back to like, well, let's say Avila plays, right? Like who's going to guard him?
Yeah.
Let's look back to the you and I game at, you know, guy I keep calling country strong. Just, you know what I mean? That big Iowa strong, like number 21 white dude that was just kind of pushing people around. Like who's going to guard him if you don't have Ballard or Mate on the floor? So this will be fascinating to watch this tonight and see how they try to get through it. And I'll tell you, I was just not going into this year thinking about how critical a piece they were going to have potentially go out in Ronnie DeGray. And now it's 4 to 6 weeks. That is a big deal. And this
is going to be interesting tonight for sure, because remember, they didn't have Quincy Ballard in the entire game against Monmouth, and DeGray left the game early with the injury, and Monmouth out-rebounded them. And so you're playing a St. Louis team tonight that is not particularly good, at least early in this season, in rebounding. So that can maybe help offset it a little bit. But man, like you've got this will be, I think, a test to see, okay, Paul Mills, you've had 3 days since the Monmouth game. You know you don't have Ronnie DeGray and Quincy Ballard is back. So in theory, you should have at least you should be able to offset what you saw on Tuesday from a defensive rebounding perspective. You should be able to do at least what you did against Monmouth, if not better. I know you lose your top rebounder in Ronnie DeGray, but with Ballard back, he's got to make sure that he can get up there and grab those boards, and that's going to be a major factor.
Yeah, I don't know what happens with rebounding, honestly. Like, I don't – that's going to be – I guess. I just don't know. I mean, I think that I would temper my expectations against these high-quality teams that they should dominate the board.
But the point is
that doesn't seem realistic.
SLU has not been good rebounding this year, even with – I know Avila went down in the opening game, but – they've not been good. They rank down at the bottom in Division I in defensive rebounding percentage. So that does, you're not taking on a team tonight that just absolutely crashes the boards left and right and can dominate you. So even without Ronnie DeGray, I'd like to see them be able to hang. If it can be a fairly evenly matched
I think they should win the game, especially if Avila doesn't play. I think they should win the game.
No, I'm just talking about rebounding. Like they need to hang with them in rebounding.
Yeah.
Even without DeGray, because the Billikens are not a strong defensive rebounding team. They're just not.
I agree with that, because the Shockers have good rebounding guards, right? Justin Hill's been
Xavier Bell's been pretty good in rebounding.
Well, right, and we know Harlan Beverly can rebound, so I would agree with that. They're going to have to pick up the slack. You'd like to say, yeah, they just need to shoot the ball better from outside. I don't think that's this team's DNA. I mean, it's nice when they can get it, but I don't think it's their strength. So
we've seen flashes of it from Hill. We've seen Corey Washington come on over the last couple of games.
They can get, but as far as like identity of the team, so take K-State, for instance. Mm-hmm. I think K-State's identity is going to be to shoot the three. I think they're going to take a ton of them, and I think that's what they're trying to do. I don't think that's what Coach Mills has his guys trying to do. Now, if they come out like they did early in the second half against you and I, yeah, let it rip. Like, if you're feeling it, let it rip. But I don't think that's the way they're going to design it. They have great attackers of the basket at guard. I think that's what they want to do.
I think here's the big question, not just with tonight's game, but when they play in the holiday tournament next week. Before we knew Ronnie DeGray was injured, I mean, you and I talked about what should the expectations be for Wichita State over this three-game stretch? And, you know, I said 2-1, I think, you would like to see Wichita State with the game tonight. Then they play Minnesota, then either Wake Forest or Florida. 2-1, you know, would be great. Is that still realistic in your mind, knowing that they won't have DeGray in these three games?
Well, it needs to be, because they're not going to have DeGray for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
weeks. But is it going to be?
Let me just look here real quick. Let's go best case scenario, 4 weeks from you know, yesterday, from right now, basically, could put you back 1, 2, 3, 4. By December 20, they start AAC play on January 3rd. So, yeah, I think you get him back before American play, ideally. So then I look at it, and if we look at those three, I mean, depends. Do they play Wake Forest or do they play Florida? I don't know. It probably changes it. It probably needs to. I just don't want it to, right? And that's maybe we'll learn that tonight with St. Louis. Maybe all of a sudden we see some great conditioning for the bigs and they can utilize those two together and it's great and it's okay. They got to get through. The good news is he should be back before conference play. So let's watch tonight, and maybe I'll have a better answer for you on that Monday, whether I think they should go 2-1 or not in that holiday tournament. Then the other game we're watching tonight, of course, is K-State. This is interesting. K-State is an 8.5-point favorite over George Washington. George Washington has not lost yet this year. They got a pretty decent little KenPom. They haven't played anybody. They haven't played anybody yet. 8.5 seems low. Seems like a reaction to the way K-State's been playing lately. I think if they have a better performance against Mississippi Valley State, this would be a double-digit type game. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know if it's an opportunity, though, because we haven't seen K-State look good in a very long time. Right now, Kansas State, in the KenPom, they come in at 73. And George, let me just take a look at this after last night, 144. So George Washington's, I mean, they're kind of getting into that fringy, like bottom half, like, I don't know if they're very good. Feels like a pretty good opportunity for K-State to get right too. Coleman Hawkins needs to play better. They need to shoot better. We talked to Tim Fitzgerald yesterday, and you can always go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. They need to come out with their hair on fire, basically, in this tournament.
I'm totally staying away from this game tonight because you're right. Like, it could be a bounce back. That there could be.
It should be.
It should be a bounce back.
Right.
They got to prove it before I'm going to jump on it.
I think I agree.
Look, I mean, Coleman Hawkins has got to get it going. I hope that Doug McDaniel plays in this game. I think it really wasn't talked about a whole lot that, you know, the guy started against LSU and then didn't play a single minute in the game against Mississippi Valley State due to coach's decision. And that's a Jerome Tang thing. I mean, he does that occasionally when he gets on a guy. We talked to Fitzgerald about that yesterday. I hope that he's gotten back in those good graces and he plays in the game. They need him. That they need him to be the best version of themselves. So will they bounce back? I think there's a really good possibility that they do. I'm just staying away from it until they prove it and I can see it for myself.
I don't know, man. I don't know what to do with it tonight. I just want to see him play better. It's going to be such a bummer if they don't figure this out, you know? Like, it'll be a big-time bummer. So hopefully they do. Hopefully everything's fine. And they go out and they get off to a good start. I mean, you want to talk about expectations for a tournament. They need to win all of them, right? Like, that should be the expectation.
Yeah.
Don't lose a game in this tournament. And if they do that, I think we'll all feel a lot better, right? If they just handle their business. Just go 4-0, right? Even if they don't get to the point where we think they need to like look really good, which they haven't in a while, at minimum, you better win all the games. The good news, I will say this, like Wichita State's performance over the next couple of weeks is far more important than whatever K-State does. I don't agree with, you know, some of the vibes of it. Like, I don't care what K-State does because ultimately they're going to play so many high-level games in the Big 12 that the wins and losses now, I mean, I guess if they lose them all, which they're not going to, it could hurt them, but it doesn't really matter. What really matters for them is where they finish in the Big 12 and how many of those high-quality games they win once those get here. They don't play a lot of high-quality games in the non-con. So I don't think it matters too much. I think it matters for perception. I think it matters that we see them play well. But when we're talking about actual wins and losses to the resume, it's far, far, far more critical for Wichita State and what they can do, because these are games by design tournament builders, right? They need these games to build tournament resumes. And again, if you can get St. Louis now, if Avila doesn't play, or even if he does and he's limited because he's coming back off injury, if you can get them now, where they stand now may be very different than where they are late in the year. We like their coach. They got one of the best players in the country. I don't think the committee is going to remember that on November 22nd, Avila was limited or out for that game if you can get that win and they end up being really good. So just keep that in mind, Shocker fans. Real big opportunity for them tonight in Kansas City. They got to do it with one of their key players without Ronnie DeGray, though. All right, that gets you primed for tonight. We've got, you know, KU Duke is the other game coming up soon that we're paying attention to. And that will obviously be just a massively fun and amazing game that we can't wait to see. But that's coming for you. If you're on your way to work, you want to hear the Shockers tonight, you can do it on the Odyssey app. If you don't have an opportunity to sit in your car late at night, you can listen tonight. Pre-game coverage on KEYN begins at 8:30. You can also just search KEYN on the Odyssey app. If you want K-State hoops, they'll be right here on KFH. You can search KFH on the Odyssey app. They'll both be available for you over the air and on the app. We're coming right back. More Sports Daily right after this.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.